series this summer called Undeniable. And how many of you went to the Toby Mac concert? Raise your hands. How many of you went to that concert? Pretty cool, eh? How many of you are going to go to Skillet in the fall? Yeah, Skillet, right? Because I know that my kids want to go to Skillet really bad. So if you want to get tickets, by the way, talk to Pastor Mark, because they're going to go quick, because we want a whole block of them, by the way. So the thing that we're doing this summer is we're really focusing on the undeniable power of God. That's one of the songs that Toby Mac sings. And we're just talking about it from the Bible's perspective. Like, right at the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. And then we read about God flooding the earth, but then saving humankind and all the animals and the sign of the rainbow. And then we talked about other aspects of how God saved his people coming out of Egypt. And this week, we're actually going to be looking at one of the shipwrecks in the Bible. Now, how many of you know one of the big stories of a ship in a really big storm? Does anyone know what story that might possibly be? Which one? Titanic. Okay. So it's on the Bible, but man, that's a pretty, the Titanic definitely is a big story. In the Bible, there's another one as well. Does anyone want to guess? Oh, where? Jonah, right? Jonah the whale, right? We think about Jonah being thrown overboard. But there's another story in the Bible that's kind of like the Titanic. And we're going to read about that today. We're going to talk about a guy by the name of Paul. Now, Paul was one of the leaders of the early church, and he had a lot of amazing adventures. And he did some pretty awesome things. God really worked through him and did some amazing miracles. And you guys learned about Paul this week when you're talking about him being in jail, right? And he's with his buddy. What was his buddy's name? Silas, that's right. And they were put in prison for something that they didn't deserve to go to prison for. And when they were in jail, they were singing praises to God. But I want to pick up and tell you the rest of the story, because you might not know this. It's in the rest of that particular book in the Bible called Acts. And there we read about Paul going to the city of Rome, and he had got on a ship. And before we do that, there's a segue, and I'm coming into it with Yelena. Where are you? Is she coming down? Well, she's going to be here soon. Oh, here he comes. So Yelena's going to come on up. Can I get the wireless mic, by the way? Could you just hand me that one? Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Now, Yelena has some jewelry. Isn't this beautiful? Look at this. This beautiful jewelry is called, what's your name?
Ivy.
Oh, sorry, I put this on.
Ivy.
Ivy, that's right. Now, is there any one of you kids that's brave enough that would like to hold a snake? Anybody? Oh, we got a few. Okay, so the hand shot, right? It's always good to sit in the front, because you can come on up, you in the front, yes? And the girl in the orange shirt, you can come on up. And the guy in the red shirt there, in the muscle shirt, you can come on up. Three of them. Now, I want you guys to be very gentle, because Ivy can get scared. She doesn't hurt anybody. She's been handled since she was a little, tiny little one. And but I want you guys to think of a question that you'd like to ask Yelena about her pet snake, Ivy, other than what's her name, because you already know her name, and what gender she is. So think about that. But I have a question to start off with. And here's the question. Why? Why would you have a pet snake?
Good question.
Thanks, Mom.
Well, I don't know. I think they're cool. Like, ever since I was young, I don't know. I've never really had a problem with them. I never thought they were scary. I thought they were cool.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they feel really smooth and like.
Yeah, I know Ivy, and she does feel pretty neat. She's not slimy or anything, by the way.
A bigger snake, actually. I went to the park sometime, and there's this guy also with a ball my phone, but he was already full grown. It was like, bam! And I had it around my neck, and I was like, 13, and I thought it was so cool, and I was like, I want a pet snake.
All right, well, it takes all kinds. All right, so what's your name?
Jasmine.
Jasmine, what question would you like to ask Elena about her snake?
You asked that question.
Okay, well, you get to ask another one.
Does your snake have a birthday?
Her birthday is like May 14th or something. The breeder I got from said she was born sometime in May. So I just kind of gave her the birthday of May 14th, and I'm sticking with that.
That's great. And what's your name?
Cassidy.
Cassidy. What question do you want to ask her, Lane?
How old is she?
Okay. I think that question was kind of asked already, so do you have a different question?
No.
No? You can think of one. Oh, it wasn't asked? Oh, okay. Oh, maybe I just misunderstood, but yes, her birthday. So Sorry, Cassidy, go ahead. How old is she?
She's just over a year old. She turned a year in May, so.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. She's busy tasting you, I guess, eh?
She smells with her tongue.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like smelling and sensing heat, so.
Oh, that's great. Sorry, Cassidy, I didn't mean to put your question on. What's your name?
My name's Everett, and my question is, how long will it grow when it's full grown?
Well, that's a good question, too.
So how long until it's full grown? It only takes a few years. They can live until they're about like 10 years or more. And when she's full grown, she'll be like 4 feet or more. So yeah, the girls always grow bigger than the boys. So it'll take like, probably like, she'll slowly grow over the years. But yeah, I'm not actually 100% sure how long it's gonna take her to grow. I guess it's different with every snake. So yeah.
All right, well, Mom, there you go. I know how long the snake's gonna grow. All right. Would you guys like to touch Ivy? So you guys can go and follow her instructions. Tell her there she is. Now, yeah. Look at that. So I guess that's the thing, is we just don't want to move fast, right?
Okay, so while I hold the snake, I have a story to tell. We used to have pets here at the church for day camp, and they were lobsters. So we had a big, really big tank upstairs, and there was a lobster tank, and they're all blue lobsters, and they got about this big, and they also had 20 babies. So now we had about 25 different lobsters in the church. This was about 15 years ago. And what happened is, in the middle of the night, on Saturday night, they got out. And the lobsters had, obviously they go downhill towards water, and they went down the stairs and were walking around into the auditorium and in the foyer over there for Sunday morning. And one of our old men, back then he was about 75 years old, had stepped on one of them. You imagine his face when he realized he stepped on something, a creature like that, he would have wondered what kind of infestation does this church have. But anyways, I didn't know that. And so coming up to the front, I realized that they had gotten out of the tank. And I came up to the church and I said, I apologize in advance, but there are like 22 lobsters missing from our tank upstairs. And they're walking around the church right now, so if you see any, just let me know. Everybody's feet in the air. So that was a pretty fun story for me. There you go.
That's awesome. And so Everett's going to handle that, I think, too. You want to hold it, of course. Now, one of the things I just wanted to tell you, I was it was so difficult this week because I was looking around because I wanted to tell this story, which, by the way, has a snake in it. That's why the reason I wanted to include a snake. And I was like, I can't find a snake, and looked all over the place to try to. Wouldn't it be great if somebody in the church owned a snake? I had no idea that Elena owned a snake until last night. And then she comes up to me and she says, Pastor Glenn, I have a big favor to ask you. And I said, what? I have a snake, and I was wondering if I could leave it in your office until the Pratts come to pick it up. They're going to snake sit for me because she's going on holidays. I'm like, absolutely, you can keep the snake in my office. And I said, that would be awesome as long as we can use it for an illustration on Thursday night. And so she was gracious enough to do that. So let's give Elena and my hand. Thank you so much. That is awesome. You're so blessed. And hey, look at what other church can you go to where you get snakes pulled out in the middle of the service? So there you go. All right. Well, you're probably thinking to yourself, what does a snake have to do with the Apostle Paul and going on a ship and a journey? So I want to tell you a little bit about the story. That it's found at the end of the book of Acts, and I want to read it along with you. It's actually a really riveting account. And so let's just do that. And yeah, so you kids can take a look at the snake while we're looking at the Word of God too. So I can't compete with snakes anyways. There we go. All right. I'll give you guys a minute. Give you guys a minute. Okay. You guys can also look at the snake after the service as well. Elena, will you be able to show them that after the service a little bit? Are you going to jet? Okay. So she'll be able to show it to you guys afterwards. Okay. So that's great. Well, the Apostle Paul did a lot of amazing things. He actually went and did a lot of journeys. You guys probably learned about some of that this week. God did some amazing miracles, healed people, even caused an earthquake that set them free from the prison that they were at when they were in a place called Philippi. But then towards the end of his life, as Paul's getting older, he actually was on a ship going towards the city of Rome. Now the reason he was going on a ship was he had been arrested, and that often happened for the early apostles, and Paul was no different. And even though he hadn't done anything wrong,
The people didn't want to hear about Jesus, and so they got him arrested, and they wanted to kill him, actually. And so Paul says, I'm going to go, and I'm going to go all the way to the city of Rome. I'm going to talk to the king of Rome, and his name was Caesar, right? And so the Caesar, he's going to be appealing to him, because he had the right to do that. And so he got on a ship, and on his way he went. Now, at that time, in 2,000 years ago, traveling on ship wasn't so safe. Kind of like the Titanic, probably even worse. And they were traveling on a ship, and the Bible tells us that as they were doing that, it says that they were struggling a lot, because it was like, you ever watch that show, The Deadliest Catch, going up and down in the water? They were doing that. It was a great big typhoon. It was a storm. They were constantly being buffeted and just pummeled by one storm after the other. Felt like it was an ongoing raging sea. And the Bible says they weren't making very good time. It says they struggled along the coast with great difficulty and finally arrived at a place called Fair Havens. And the word haven means, oh, so nice here. And the word fair means really beautiful. You ever been to a town and you've gone in there, maybe it's like a town called like Paradise or something like that, and you arrive and you're like, really? This is a paradise? And they're actually kind of tricking you to just go there, right? They're just tricking you to go into that town. You get there, you realize it isn't what they advertised it to be. That's the way Fair Havens was. Wasn't a nice place to be in at all. It was not a fair place, a nice place, an easy place to be. And they got there, and it says that they wanted to move on. But they were warned by the Apostle Paul. He said, God spoke directly to Paul a lot of times, and Paul warned him. He said, don't go. Stay here. Wait for the stormy season to be over with. Don't go. And they talked to the boat's owner, and they talked to the captain of the ship, who probably wanted to make a lot of money, and they're like, nope, go. Shoot. So off they went. Now, Paul was a prisoner on this ship with a lot of other prisoners, and they were being transported to Rome. But what ended up happening? They eventually got themselves into big trouble. Matter of fact, there was a storm that hit them for 2 weeks, and they were blown all the way across the Mediterranean Sea from the island of Crete, and they got blown up and moved along to a place that they didn't even know about. They were actually lost at sea. Imagine how scared you would have been. And it said that finally, after they had seen the sun go down, and they hadn't seen the stars of the sun for so long, it said they lost all hope. And it said that Paul then takes the lead. Even though he's a prisoner, he takes the lead. See how bold he is? Even though he's an old guy, even though he's a prisoner, he's speaking, and those people are listening to him. You ever wonder how that can happen? You ever wonder how, even if you're not strong physically, even if you're not even in a position of power, how can you then have influence? And for a child of God, when we follow the Lord, we carry with us the undeniable power of God, because he's with you. He'll always be with you. And because Paul knew that he was with him, he could say things that blew everybody else away. And even though they didn't listen to him the first time, we read here that he warns them again. And he actually says, hey, he says, you wouldn't have gotten into trouble if you had listened to me in the first place. He says, but it's okay. Take courage. None of you are going to lose your lives. Even though the ship is going to go down, he says, you're not going to be able to save the ship. It got stuck up on a reef. He says, you're not going to die, but you have to follow my instructions. He said, last night, an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me. And he said, not be afraid, Paul. That's what he said. Paul says, something pretty amazing. I had an angel standing next to me. And he says, you're all going to be fine. He says, I'm going to take care of you. And if you stick with me and you do what God says, you're going to be saved too. Now, they didn't want to listen to him again. And so they tried to drop the lifeboats into the water. That didn't work out so well. And then eventually, Paul says, you do this, we're all going to die. So don't do it. So instead of letting the lifeboats into the water, and by the way, they weren't going to let the lifeboats into the water so everybody could get saved. They're only going to let the lifeboats into the water so that the really important people are going to get saved. What do you think would have happened to all the prisoners on the boat? What do you think would have happened to them? Now, they were probably like, you guys can take care of yourself. Actually, we read later that they were thinking of actually just killing them. They're actually going to just kill them because they didn't want them to escape. And they were just going to jump on their boats and paddle ashore and hopefully save their own selves. And the Apostle Paul says, you do that, you'll die. And they listened to him. They actually listened to Paul. I mean, imagine that. You got those big, burly Roman soldiers listening to some old guy. And he says that he's seen an angel. And yet, the Bible says that they listened to him. And when they did so, and it says they got washed up on shore. And you know how many people were on the boat? 276. Now, what's really neat about this is outside of the island that they landed on, it's the island of Malta. Does anyone know where Malta is? Does anyone know where? It's just south of Italy, right? In the Mediterranean Sea. And they washed up on this little island, and it says that 276, all of them were saved. And we found it, they've dug up outside of the island of Malta, they've dug up anchors. The Bible says four anchors got dropped by this Egyptian boat. It said it was an Egyptian boat that they were on. And it said four anchors got dropped, and it says they had cut them loose, so the anchors are at the bottom. And I was doing some research on the internet, and guess what they found outside Malta? They find a great big honking anchor. Like, it's like from that light over to like about here, and it's got Egyptian symbols written into it. Egyptian gods were written onto the anchor. So they know that there was a big Egyptian ship that went down off the coast of Malta 2,000 years ago. Isn't that amazing? The Bible doesn't tell us stories that aren't true. It tells us the account of what really happened. So these are awesome stories, but they're actually true, and this actually happened. And then it says, when they got to shore, it says everybody escaped. And they, what's the first thing you do if you were in a big winter storm, you're soaking wet, you finally make it to the beach, what's the first thing you would do?
Fire.
Fire, right? You'd say, let's get ourselves a fire going. And so they gathered some sticks, and they gathered some wood, and then they had a big fire. And I can imagine it would be a big honking fire, right? Because how many people? Over 250 people, right? So they're all around this fire. But they also had an unwanted guest. And did you hear what Elaine was saying about Ivy? Ivy, she smells with her tongue. And what else do snakes sense? They sense heat, right? They sense heat. And where there's heat, when Ivy, she was my guest all day today in my office. She was sitting there nicely in her cage. I was making sure she was still in there, you know. And I actually looked in there, and there was this rock. Apparently it's hollow on the inside. And I looked at the cage, and Ivy wasn't there. And I had a moment of thinking, like, I wonder where Ivy went. Looked under the desk, and then I looked inside the rock, and she was hidden. She helped coil up inside the rock. Then she'd come out, and then she'd go back in, and she'd come out, and she'd go back in. But we had a heat lamp on top of it, because she likes that heat, right? Because she's a reptile. And so this snake, the Bible says, was attracted to the heat. And so it came out to check out what's going on. And it says, as Paul gathered an armful of sticks and was laying them on the fire, a poisonous snake, so not like Ivy, but one I really probably wouldn't want to touch. I know probably with a boa constrictor, a little one at least, but certainly not a poisonous snake. It says, driven out by the heat, bit him in the hand. So you're thinking like, oh great. Like after all this, he goes to this big storm and he's saved and he gets everybody saved and God does an amazing miracle and now you get bitten by a snake. How many of you ever felt like that? Like, come on, seriously? Why did this happen to me? But even worse thing happened. The people that were on the island saw these people being rescued. And at first they were very superstitious people, probably thinking, what did you do to deserve getting shipwrecked, right? Which god did you upset because of this? Maybe you upset the god of the sea, like Poseidon, right? Because that's the god of the sea that they would have known. But it says that the people of the island saw it hanging from his hand. So it's like, it's got fangs right in there, just pumping in the venom. And it says that they said, well, he must be a murderer, no doubt. He must have done something really bad, done something really wrong. And you would think, wow, these people are crazy. This is really superstitious. But how many times have we said something bad happened to somebody and we think maybe bad things about them? Maybe they deserved it. And the Apostle Paul, he's suffering for no good reason. Like, it wasn't because it was his fault. As a matter of fact, he was the one that got them saved. And yet they turned on him. These people that were on the island certainly turned on him. But then it says, Paul shook off the snake into the fire and was unharmed. No problem. And the snake died, and he lived, and the Bible says everybody changed their opinion of him. Immediately, it says the people waited for him to swell up or suddenly drop dead. But when they had waited a long time, they saw that he wasn't harmed, they changed their mind. But here's the problem. When they changed their mind, they didn't just think that, well, maybe his God saved him. They said, he must be a God. And that's the way it is in our world. God can give you proof after proof after proof of his existence. He can do miracles that you don't even see or recognize. And yet, we can still just ignore God's truth. We can doubt him. We can make up our own stories. And this is exactly what the people of Malta did. They gave credit to some false god rather than the one true God. God gives proof in your life. God gives proofs all the time. You just have to look for them. Jesus Christ is the greatest proof because he came, he died, we know this, and he rose from the dead. We know this to be true. This is a fact. This isn't some story that was just made up. There's so much evidence for it. This fall we're going to be looking at that in our church. I'm so excited to teach on that because it's not just wishful thinking. It's not just hopeful thinking. It actually happened. We've talked about the undeniable power and presence of God and how there's evidence of how God took the Egyptians and they were chasing the Israelites and they perished in the Red Sea. We've talked about Jericho and there being evidence of those walls that fell down. We've talked about a lot of evidence of what God has done. And yet for all the proof and all the evidence, we still fail to believe God sometimes. Which is why the Bible says, it's not about proof. It's about faith. Now, faith is not wishful thinking. It's like, I really hope he exists. I really hope it's true. Faith is certainty of something that you can't have all the evidence for, but that you know because of what you've seen, what you've heard, and what you've experienced, that you know it to be true. It's putting your trust in something. I put my trust in things I can't see all the time. Right? Do I put my trust in... I've shown this example for some of the kids. Do you put your trust in gravity to do its job? Right? You do, right? You can't see gravity, but you trust that it will. Do you trust that the earth will always be rotating every single day and it won't all of a sudden stop? Well, what happened if the earth just stopped rotating? We don't go hurtling through space, right? Like, we just fly through space, right? We have trust and faith that the sun won't burp in the wrong direction, right? And hurt us all. Right? We've got faith every day that things will continue as they are. And yet, the one who holds all those things together, we sometimes don't have faith in him. But the Apostle Paul had faith. He had faith right from the moment he stepped on that boat. Even in the midst of the storm, he still had faith. And when you have faith, guess what? Other people around you will notice that you have faith. They will notice your strength and your walk with God. And they will change. They will be challenged, and many people will change, and a lot of people will see Jesus in you if you know the Lord. And if you don't, the access to that, we'll talk about that as we close, it's right there. Now we end with one more proof. And this was when he was on the shore. There was a really important guy. His name was Publius, or something like that. It's a strange name anyways. It's in Latin. And the chief official of the island, the head guy. And he welcomed them, he treated them kindly for 3 days, but he had a father that was really sick. It said that he had fever and dysentery and he was going to probably die. That's the implication here. And it says that Paul went in and prayed for him and laid his hands on him and healed him. And not only did he heal this guy's father, but it said that all the other sick people on the island came and were healed. And as a result, they were showered with honors, and the people supplied them with everything they needed for their trip when they left, when the stormy season was over with. The Apostle Paul used every opportunity to share Jesus with people, and he demonstrated that God was real. It wasn't just the story that was made up. It wasn't just a set of beliefs that he wanted people to follow. It was a real live person who met him, talked to him, changed people, changed lives, and that didn't just happen 2,000 years ago on an island called Malta. It happened all throughout the history of the world. This is what separates the Bible from every other kind of book that's been written. This book isn't just do this, don't do this, wise saying, and then that's the end. It's a mostly a book of God did this, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened, and God showed up, and he did something amazing, and he taught the people this. And this is why we talk about God's undeniable power, because the Bible reads like real history, because it is. It's real history. This event actually happened, and God is still doing real history today. Do you want God to do real history in your life? Do you want to say, my life is going to be a story of God doing something awesome in my life? I've got stories I could tell you of what God has done in my life. And yeah, I've got stories of where God's miraculously healed people in my life. Absolutely, my own brother. I've got stories of God showing up in ways that I can't explain to you with just a few sentences, but I know he's real because he speaks to me, because he's been there for me. And in tough times and the difficult times, when I've been shipwrecked, as it were, or I feel like I've been bitten by a snake, God is with me. And when people turn on me, God is always going to be with me. And the access to that is found in having faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to these he gave the right to be called children of God, to those who believe on his name. God has no grandchildren. He only has children. You can't have your parents make the decision for you, or your grandparents, or your friend. You've got to make the decision. And if you want to know the hope that Paul did, when Paul met Jesus, it turned his life around. And the same way we can do it too. And all we have to do, the Bible says, is to confess that we're not right with God and that he has to save us. And that happened when we think about it on the cross, right? And Jesus died for me and all the sin that I've committed. And I don't have to pay the penalty of that anymore. And I don't have to be afraid of physical death anymore, because God's got me if I've trusted him to save me of my sin. And I say, God, you're the boss now. I want to follow you. I want your spirit to fill me. That's really the message of the church, of the message of Jesus Christ. That's really what it's all about. So the Apostle Paul, undeniable power of God. And we've been learning about that all this summer. We're going to close out the next 2 weeks talking about that as well. But I want to encourage you, if you haven't opened your heart to Jesus, you'd like to. If you're one of the kids, talk to one of your campers, leaders. They would love to lead you. Adults, if you want to know more, I'd be happy to talk to you about it as well. We're going to close in prayer, and then we're going to have our final song, which is You Make Me Brave, right? And the Apostle Paul, was he brave? I mean, he was so brave, right? Do you want to be brave? How many of you want to be brave, right? You want to be brave for Jesus. So we're going to sing that song with enthusiasm, and then we're going to close. Let's pray.